let your marriage shut down then. Because she was complaining. Can't you tell Mary to come over here and help me? Don't you see how busy I am serving y'all? I bet her head was just a gun. You see how she done left me to serve all alone. See, she got these cares. She carrying these cares like it's a badge. Like it's some crown or something. Like Jesus is going to say, Mary, don't you see Martha serving? Get up, girl, and help her. Quit being so lazy. Jesus said, I'm sorry, Martha. You got too many troubles. Your heart's troubled. You're troubled about too many things. You need to do just what Mary's doing. That's what he told her indirectly. You need to do just what she's doing. You need to sit down and listen. I bet she wasn't serving then. Oh, that's why I love Jesus. He just tell you like it is. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Things come against your life. Sometimes they might give you a blow at first. Might unsettle you a little bit. You might even cry a little bit. But you know you got to get your composure. And you got to know you're in the fight of faith. And you got to get back in there and say, now, wait a minute. I didn't like the news I heard, but God done told me how to deal with it, and I'm going to follow his orders. I'm going to take the instructions. He knows about this better than I do. I'm going to give this care, this anxiety to him. Hallelujah. I just look at one more time, Jesus said it. He said, don't be troubled. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what am I going to do? I done cast the care. I resist the devil. I prayed. Now what do I do next? The next thing you got to do is trust. You got to have confidence in God that he heard your prayer, that you do have the power to resist the devil, and that he's going to take care of whatever that situation is. Now, sometimes he can take care of it by himself. You don't need to fight. But sometimes he takes care of the care by giving you an instruction. And your miracle and your deliverance is in the instruction. Amen. So if you're not sitting and listening, you might not hear the instruction that's got the answer to your deliverance. Y'all see that? So then you got to trust God. Proverbs 3:5. What does it say? 3:3-5. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not what? To thy own understanding. See, when you lean to your own understanding, that means you're worrying. Because you're trying to figure it out, that means you worry. You got the anxiety of it. See, when you lean to your own understanding, you have saying, God, you can't handle it, I got it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Do what? In all your ways, acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge him? By giving him the care. By making the decision, you're not going to worry. Lord, you told me, so I'm acknowledging him. Father, you told me to do it this way. I'm doing it. To the best of my understanding and to the best of the wisdom you've given me, I'm applying your word to the best of my understanding. If I'm doing something wrong, show me. But I'm making one decision. I know I'm not supposed to worry. I can nail that down. I am not supposed to be worried about it. Nail it down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. And he shall what? He shall direct your path. There's the instruction. See, now he's the director. Do this. Do that. Stop doing that right there. Don't go that way. Go this way. See, now he's directing. We just thought God's going to do it all by himself. He's going to direct everything. Yeah, he might direct your path through telling you what to do. That means he's in charge of your path. That means that he's saying, okay, now do this right here and do that. He'll direct your path. He will. But you got to be listening to hear for the directions. He can't direct your path if you're not receiving directions. Everybody say, I ain't worried about nothing. See, I believe God wants us to be a carefree church. That don't mean that we're a church without problems or without opposition or without challenges. Now, I'm not saying that type of church because that's impossible. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. That's a fact of life. Trouble comes to everybody. But I believe we'll be the kind of church that we know what to do with these cares. I want you to get it today. The Holy Ghost wants you to get a hold of this today and wrap your heart around what I'm telling you today and make the decision that you're not going to worry. Because evidently the Lord is trying to prepare us for something. For him to be on it like this, what he's doing is setting us up for miracles because The devil may be trying to arrange something to bring some destruction, but because we've learned to cast our cares on the Lord and to pray and to believe God and to thank God and to get over into praise and be of good cheer in the midst of it, it's going to allow God to direct us into the path that he called us to, which is the path of life and the path of blessing. And miracles will happen. The stronger the difficulty, the greater the glory. Because I've applied these principles and they work. I've seen firsthand God move in situations that seemed like they was impossible. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know the word of God works, and God wants that to be imparted to you, the spirit of a conqueror, an overcomer, someone that's not worried, because worry is going to choke you, cut your circulation. God doesn't want your circulation cut. So take heed to this word. All right, John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not the way, whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, let me read that out of the Amplified. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me also. Hallelujah. He said, just keep believing in me. He said, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't let it be troubled. That's something you got to do. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to walk around with a troubled heart. I'm not going to have a troubled heart. I've got challenges in my life, but one thing, I've made a decision. I'm not going to have a troubled heart, because Jesus told me not to. Right? He told me to trust in him, rely on him, depend on him. That means that I can have confidence to know that he's going to take care of me. Amen? Whatever your problem is today, I'm going to tell you the Lord can handle it. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you right now. I'm going to tell you, cast your cares on him right now. Whatever concerns you, whatever's got you weighted down, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means if you got a heavy load on you, get out from under that load. That's not the will of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, he said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, your mind, you just be agitated and frustrated. Oh, that's not the will of God. We resist the devil. We cast those cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out, that you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen? You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. Of the new, the best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you turn your Bibles today to Luke chapter 18, I want to commence reading at verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 reads, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. The Bible says, verse 23, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, change is a choice. Change is a choice. Now, somebody may be sitting next to you, and maybe they heard me, maybe they didn't, but I want you to reinforce what I just said and touch your neighbor and say, neighbor,
if you want to change,
it's your choice.
Now, if you really believe that, give God some praise. There are those of us who want our circumstance, our situations, our conditions to change for the better, but yet somehow we believe that they will change without the participatory help of our involvement. Somehow they just think things will change on their own, and most times, listen at this, they will, but not always for the better. One of the things that you must realize about change is the very nature of change is to do just that, change. Now, change is going to happen whether you want it to or not, whether you're ready for it or not. But the question is, when you really want change, are you willing to do what it takes to have the outcome of the change be what you really desire it to be? You see, you can think, you can wish and think and hope and pray for change, but if you never get up and do anything about the change is going to happen, but it's not going to happen the way you've imagined it to, because there are just some things you have to do for yourself in order for some things to come out the way you want them to. This is an interesting story, because as we start this year and we again talk about, you know, new beginnings and things change and new situations, etc., etc. That whole lot of you who have already started 08 like you started 07. And you didn't like the outcome of 07, but I want to ask one question. If you think 08 is going to be different and you've done nothing different in 08 from 07, I've got news for you. You can look for a repeat of the same. Listen at me well. You've got a part to play. God has a part to play. In this word, there are many things I want us to look at, because God's going to do some great things, and he's going to do them for those who are ready and who are willing and who are able to say, God, I want to do my part to affect change in my own life. I don't like the way I am. I don't like the way some things are. I don't like what's going on around me. And there is a part that you can play that will affect how your outcome is. Let's look at this text again. The Bible says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he was already a young ruler. He was acquainted with power, prestige, preeminence. He was a potentate. He made decisions and things happen. He was a man who understood authority and understood presence and power and those kinds of things. But yet, in spite of his position, there was an emptiness underneath the skin. In spite of him being a ruler, in spite of him being in authority, in spite of him having a grand position, there was still something not right, something missing underneath his skin. The record is that he went to Jesus and said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, keep in mind, he's a young ruler, full of life, big of vim and vitality, with a prosperous future, having riches and prominence and preeminence and all of those things in the kingdom that he ruled. Yet in the midst of all of that, his spirit, his inner man, was aching for more than that. And so he asks Jesus about eternal life. Somewhere in all of his getting of knowledge, he understood something about this thing called eternal life, something about a hereafter, something beyond the now, something in a whole nother sphere, in a whole nother place. He knew that was something that his spirit desired that this world could not afford. He calls Jesus good master, him saying that you're a great teacher, you are one with great knowledge. He doesn't address him as Lord. He doesn't address him as Savior. He addresses him as a teacher who is profound in the law or in the word. Yeah. Jesus says to him, verse 19, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. So now, because he doesn't address Jesus as as Savior or as Lord, but as Master, he makes him simply a man. So Jesus responds and lets him know, why are you calling me good when you must know in reality that just because you may be morally good doesn't mean that you are spiritually good? And so he's going to break it down to him and share some things with him. Again, the word says, verse 20, thou knowest the commandments. Now, Jesus is telling him that. Now, one of the reasons why he's telling him that is because one of the things that rulers would do is rulers, even though they may not have had relationship with God, they did have relationship with religious communities and leaders, and they were many times explained the different faiths and what they believed and that kind of thing. And most of the rulers, for the most part, were good moral men making good moral judgment, but they didn't necessarily have spiritual connection with God. So understanding this, Jesus knew of this young ruler's reputation. He understood and knew that this young ruler had had some upbringing, some training, some rearing in religious training and being informed. So he says this again. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." He does not give him a exhaustive list, but what he does is he gives him enough for the young man to say and reveal that he is a good moral person, that he does follow the commandments to a certain extent. But here is something yet missing. Look at what the Bible goes on to say. Verse 21, "And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up." You can hear the pride beaming through his written word. You could see, if you were in your sanctified imagination, how he's excited while Jesus is saying all of these things. And he's like, "I've kept them, Lord. I've done good. I'm all right. Hey, I'm doing pretty good." And Jesus, listen at this, takes him to another level. Because those things that he had done and kept were wonderful, but they were partial. They were fragmented. They were not conclusive. And see, a whole lot of folk brag on the good that they do or the morals that they have, but life and eternal life extends far beyond that. You see, some people think because they, like the rich young ruler, can say, "Well, I've never done any of these things that are horrible, and I've never ever done this, and I mean, ever since I was a child, I've always done the right thing and treated people right and so forth and so on," and they brag on the things that they can say about, but what about the other things? That man don't see, that man doesn't know, that you know that you've not kept and you've not done. See, it's amazing here that he says, "All these have I kept from my youth up." But what he doesn't mention is what other areas and issues of concerns that he himself may know of himself that he's not done. Well, it's like, if Jesus don't bring them out, I'm not gonna mention them. If the Lord were to go through this and read this list off to you, you know, some of you would be able to say the same thing. "I've kept all these from my youth up," and get happy. But there are some things you know you've done that he didn't mention here. There are some things. Look again. Let's go back again and see what he says. "Thou knowest the commandments." And if he knew the commandments, he knew this was not an exhaustive list or a complete list of the Ten Commandments. Right? I mean, he didn't even mention nothing about lying. That's the more common one. Jesus probably didn't mention, because he wouldn't have been able to say all these. And if he'd continue on with the list, he might not have been able to say that. So Jesus gave him what he could handle. And so sometimes, because we can handle some things, we get lifted up in pride. But I want you to see what happens here, because the word says, again, verse 22, "Now when Jesus heard these things," the things that he said he was able to keep and do and he was proud about, "he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing." Now listen at this word. Jesus gives him a litany of things that he should keep in the commandments. And he says, "All these I've kept." And then Jesus says, without even completing the list of the Ten Commandments, he says, "But there's only one thing you lack." One thing. But now he doesn't tell him to do the one thing, but this is what he does suggest. Look at the word. The Bible says, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now, you only lack one thing. But here's what you need to know. Hebrews 11:6 makes it clear. Here's the one thing that would reveal what you do not have, what you do lack. And if you do what I tell you to do, you'll have it. Now, when he says to him again, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, it required faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot, I don't care how morally good you are, without faith, you can't please God. Because listen at this and see this and understand this. He's saying if you really want to exercise your faith, if you want to build up the thing that you do not have much of, and he didn't have the kind of faith that was able to rival the things that he did morally. And so Jesus says if you really want to inherit eternal life, the only way you can really inherit eternal life is through faith. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Have faith. Well, now he couldn't have faith because he was focusing on the things that he did have. Let me suggest three reasons why this man could not experience eternal life. The first one is fear. Fear. Write that down. Because His change was a choice, but he couldn't make the choice because of fear. How many times have we known that God had something better for us, but we were too afraid to let go of what we had to really launch out into the deep and to be able to say, God, I trust you. I know this is not normal. I know this is not common. I know this is not average. I know this is not an everyday experience. So with fear, first thing you need to recognize is that he was scared. Fear brought and produced a fear in him that caused him to be scared to the point of not making the decision he knew he should have made. How do you know he should have made that decision, Pastor? Here it is, because the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He would not have gone away sorrowful if he had not been fearful. If he had not been afraid to make the decision he knew he should have been able to make, he would not have left and went away sorrowfully if fear had not gripped his heart and kept him from making that step. He was scared. But let me also help you understand something else under this. He was not only scared, but he was spoiled. He's a rich ruler, used to having things his way. When he says do this, folk do that. When he says do that, they do that. He has a schedule. Things work like he wants it to work. What he desires and what he decides is what is done. And so he's spoiled. Now, listen at this. Part of what gives him this power is his riches. So if I let go of my riches, will I still have the same voice, the same power, the authority? Will I still be able to rule? So he was spoiled. But then the last thing is, I want you to know with fear, he was stuck. See, a whole lot of us can't move from where we are because we're stuck in a rut. He wanted something more. He needed something more. He desired something more, but he was stuck in the same old. Same old. He couldn't let go of what he was used of to get what he really wanted because he was stuck in that space and place where he was so scared at. Listen at this, because I want you to see yourself in the situation. You want to change, and change is a choice. And the only reason why many of you have not made the choices you should have made already is because of fear. It's because of fear. You're scared. It's because if you're not scared, you're spoiled. If you're not spoiled, it's because you're stuck. And you won't recognize that. Listen, one of the reasons you know you're stuck is because sometimes you try to get up out of that place, and you can't move. And you know how folk who dance up at the top but don't move their feet?
They're stuck. Can't move. You can't move from this place to the next place, the next level to the next level, if you're stuck in the same place. How many of us are stuck in certain places where we know that is not the destiny of God for our lives? Stuck in dead-end jobs. Never have the bounty, the promise, the plenty, the prosperity that God has, because you're too afraid of letting go this to get that. Well, let me suggest something else to you, because they all